Good morning. Welcome to the Holland Free Methodist Church. This is our live stream service, week number two of our exile from normal worship here at Holland Free Methodist Church. Thanks for responding to last week's message. We've gotten some good feedback, and I appreciate that. We're trying to upgrade some of our technology a little bit. If it feels like things are lagging a little, we're just still trying to work out some kinks in the system. You can always go back and watch the recording of the service later, and it should be a little bit clearer. But I hope this service is well attended and shared. Pass it around. I don't want us to have to do this for a long time. I hope we can return to being together in person again soon, but we'll make the most of it while we're at it. I do want to offer just a few announcements here. And so I'm going to throw some slides up on the screen as we get started. And just to draw your attention here, let's not go there yet. First off, if you want to sign up for our daily updates, we're going to be sending these out starting tomorrow. Not every day, but hopefully most days you'll get a devotional written by somebody from within the church. Also some prayer points and some pictures of what people are doing right now and just ways to encourage you and to keep us connected during this time. Something else that I want to do here this week that I want to make you aware of is a Zoom prayer meeting this Thursday at 7 p.m. And I think we're all starting to, well, not all of us, but maybe a lot of us are starting to learn how to use Zoom and video conferencing. And so we're going to try to apply that for a prayer gathering on Thursday evening at 7. I'm going to send a link through the daily update that you can click on to log into that meeting, and you can join us for that. Just a few other announcements here. Our food pantry is going to be in high demand, I believe, here soon. And so there's some items we need to restock on. If you'd like to bring something by the church office, we're still open here during office hours, 9 to 1, Monday through Friday, until the government tells us we can't come in anymore. But those are some of the announcements right now. Just as far as our service this morning goes, we're going to try to follow a typical order of worship. It's going to be a little bit different, but I'll have a call to worship. Stephanie's going to join us with some music. Then we will have a time of prayer. Noel is going to lead a children's message. Then we'll take a moment to encourage you to give, to make an offering. And we'll have scripture reading, a message, another song, and then our benediction. So that's the plan for this morning. And I'd like to now draw our attention to the call to worship reading that was prescribed for today, March 22nd. It's a fitting psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now in this time of worship, I pray that you will guide us, that we will know that the Good Shepherd is with us. Father, we confess to you our sin. We confess to you that we rely on ourselves more than we should be relying on you. And we turn to you now. Help us to trust you and to be renewed in our faith today. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Be glorified in our praises now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, at this time, Stephanie is going to lead us in a song, a familiar hymn, and I'm going to turn this over to her.
Good morning. I'm glad that if we can't be together in person, that we can be together this morning worshiping the Lord in spirit. And these are some uncertain times, but in the midst of that, we know that God is faithful, and we're going to celebrate that faithfulness together this morning. So will you sing with me right there in your homes, "Great is Thy Faithfulness"?
Great.
We want to take some time to go before the Lord in prayer. We are thankful for his faithfulness to us. And to guide our prayer, I want to share from Psalm 57. I think this is a great psalm for us right now and a great way to give voice to what is on our hearts right now. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be merciful to us, O God. Be merciful to us, for in you our soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings, we will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. Father, we cry out to you, Most High. You are the God who fulfills your purpose for each of us. You will send from heaven and save us. Thank you for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Father, we pray for our nation right now. We pray for our president, President Trump, and the decisions that he makes and the team that works with him. We pray for our governor, Governor DeWine, and those who are advising him. Give them wisdom each day. Father, we ask that you be with those who work in our hospitals. We think of Toledo Hospital and Flower and St. Luke's and St. Vincent's and UTMC and St. Charles, Bay Park, Toledo Clinic, Regency, and others. Father, for the nursing homes and other care facilities that are on lockdown right now, we pray for the people there that you will help them to be assured of your presence. Thank you for your grace and strength that goes with us. We pray that you will bring a stop to this this virus that is causing fear and anxiety. We pray that you will allow great things to rise up in us as we work together and as we look to you in faith. Father, we continue to praise you. Your word says that our heart is steadfast in you, O God, that we will sing and make melody. Lord, we give you thanks among the peoples. We sing your praises to you among the nations. We pray that as the nations battle this challenge, that we will praise your name together, that you will be exalted above the heavens. Let your glory be over all of the earth. Father, help us to love one another as you have loved us. And Lord, we thank you for the promises you have given to us in your word that call us to faith and to hope and to love. Just continue to encourage us. Be with us as we spend time at home and as we look for things to do, perhaps, and as we're getting a little bit stir crazy. Lord, may we continue to focus our hearts on you. Help us to make the most of the opportunities that we have right now. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, at this time, we are going to try to switch over to the Dolly home, where we will be visiting live with Noelle. Many of the children are familiar with Noelle and her teaching on Wednesday nights through the Christian Life Club. And so she's going to have a message now for the children and for all of us as we listen in. Noelle?
Good morning. I am so glad to be with you streaming live from my home. I'm glad that we have an opportunity to meet together in this capacity to encourage each other. I hope that you are encouraged today. And kids, I have a special message for you today. And I just want to share with you what the Lord has given to me. And I just want to know that you are encouraged, and I'm praying for you. Our family is praying for you. And so let's just get to it. We know that the Bible is true. We know that the Bible is alive and active. And what it does is break down our strongholds. And what a stronghold is, it's like a barrier that stops us from living the life that God has planned for our life. Everyone who has been born on this earth has a plan that God has specifically given you to live out. And our strongholds can hold us back. And one of the strongholds that hold us back from living freedom in Christ is fear. So today we're going to talk about how fear can meet our faith. And I just have a little silly question for you. I want all parents and children to participate. I'm going to ask that question now. I want to know who here and who is in your home are humans. Raise your hand. I know that's so silly, but that just goes to show that we are all created. We were all created humans, and God knew that we would struggle as humans. We would struggle with fear. We would struggle with our faith, and He has given us encouragement. So some of the things that we struggle with are, as children, being afraid of the dark. We could struggle with being afraid of insects or birds or snakes and things like that. But there are some serious fears that people face. And one of those fears, it's called acerophobia. And acerophobia is a fear of things that are sour. Another phobia is catrophobia, which you might think is a fear of cats, but it's actually a fear of mirrors, and which is so silly to think about because these are things that we use every day, but they're not silly to the people who are actually afraid of these specific things. So God knew that we would be a people who struggle. In fact, He wrote about fear, specifically saying, do not fear, do not worry, over 320 times in the Bible. And when God repeats things or phrases, it means that He is serious about it. And He knows that we'll struggle with it. So we need to hear it over and over and over. Just like your parents are asking you to do things over and over and over. It's something that's important to them. So this is important to God for Him to know that, or for us to know that He is with us during fearful moments. So one of the things that I remember being afraid of when I was a child was the basement. I hated going into our basement when it was dark. And so what I would do is I would run down the stairs, grab whatever I needed, and I would run up the stairs. And most of the time when I was running up the stairs, I was screaming. It kind of is silly now looking back because I'm an adult, but back then I was really afraid. So what we're going to talk about today is how not to be afraid. So we live in this world, and especially right now, there are so many things to be afraid of. But we want to learn how not to be afraid. So I have a couple of verses that we're going to go over and talk about. So the first one is Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will this right hand." And so God is commanding us. He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't ask us not to fear. He commands us, do not fear or be afraid. And so in a world that we're faced with right now, that's so hard to do. But if God is asking us and actually commanding us not to do it, then we need to have faith not to be afraid. And so in my situation where I was afraid of the dark, I could have, while I'm walking down the stairs, instead of giving into my fear, I could have said, okay, God, you're here with me. I will walk down these stairs into this dark basement with confidence. And so if you believe this verse, that we are not to fear and that God is strengthening us in our fear and that He will uphold us with His righteous right hand, then what's the next step? So we believe this. And now how do we put this into practice? So the next verse is in Isaiah 41. Verse 13, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." So the way that we can apply having faith and not giving into our fear is knowing that God will help us. He helps us in three ways. He helps us through the Bible, through God's living and active word. We can trust what the Bible says is true, and we can use that by memorizing the verses and applying them in the moments that we are faced with our fears. He helps us through the Holy Spirit. If you are a believer in Jesus, God's Spirit lives in you. you. You have God's power in you. And so when we are faced with fears, we can rely on God's Spirit to help us. And the third way is through family and friends. When we are faced with situations, maybe when you're a little bit older, you know, when you become an adult or a young adult, the more responsibilities you have, the more you're going to be tempted to fear. And so God will put people in your life to help walk you through those fears, which is so amazing. God's plan for our life is so amazing. So if you believe that, you believe that God is commanding us not to fear, you believe that God is helping us through our fears, what then if we don't? What if we fall into the trap of fearing again? What happens then? So I have Romans 8:15 here. Hopefully you can see it. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." So God is telling us that when we fear or we give into our fears, it's like being a slave. It's like being in prison. And I just have to share this story with you that I thought about this morning as I was preparing this message. I had a childhood friend. Her mom was so afraid to leave her block. Well, she just didn't. On one end of her street was the school where we went to school, so she could pick up her children and drop them off. And at the other end was a convenience store where she could go and buy whatever she needed. But besides those two places, she never, ever left her home or her street. So you could say that she was in prison. I could imagine this morning, I was imagining imaginary bars around her street because that was her prison. She could not leave because she was so afraid to leave. Now, as I grew older, I actually asked, and she has overcome that fear, which is so wonderful. But just think about the things that you would miss out on if you gave into a fear like that. You wouldn't have a life, and that's preventing God from fulfilling his plan in your life if we live in fear. And God has set us free from having to fear. So I just encourage you that if there is anything that you are being fearful of right now, that think about it as being trapped by imaginary bars. And so I hope these verses have encouraged you. I know Pastor Keith is going to go further into this and how to live by faith and not by fear. My children actually have a verse that they want to share with you. This is a verse that we talk about a lot. We sometimes, even in the car, if I'm having a really bad day and I'm giving into my fears, I will ask them to say this verse. And so they're going to share it with you this morning.
Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6.
So I hope that you are encouraged by the message today. And I just want to say to you guys that God has not given us a spirit of fear. These times are hard to not give into fear, but I encourage you to turn off the news channels, turn off Facebook, and open your Bible and be encouraged by God's word. And I just hope you have a wonderful week. Just know that we are praying for you.
Ready? Thank you, Noelle. Thank you, Dolly family, Owen, Alex, Nora, John. Appreciate hearing from all of you and that great word on fear. And certainly that's something we're all dealing with and wrestling with right now. I know our video might be lagging a little bit still. Don't panic. We are dealing with some upload speeds on our end, but I think the audio should be coming through well, and that's what we're trying to make sure remains clear for you. So stay tuned. Don't turn us off just because you think there's something not working on your end. We're doing well. At this time, I want to just draw your attention briefly to our offering. In a regular worship service, we'd pass the offering plates. We're not doing that right now. But we do want to just let you know that we still need offerings here at the church. And there's a couple of ways that you can share with us, either online through our new online giving option. You can go to the website and find a link there to Tithely. Tithely is a great way that you can just give directly from home, or you can still also mail a check to the address there on your screen, P.O. Box 246, Holland, Ohio. And I realize these are tough times for a lot of people. And so we want to be sensitive to that. But we also are going to recognize a lot of benevolence needs among us. So if you want to give specifically to the Benevolence Fund, that's the fund we have set up to helping families in need within the church. You can designate that either on your check or online when you give. You can select a benevolence as where you want to designate that gift. So be mindful of how we can continue to support the church. We certainly depend on that offering each week. So by not gathering, it really cuts into our weekly income here at the church right now. Up next, we are going to return to Noelle. She read some scripture for us. This is actually a recording that was done for us yesterday, but she's going to read the passage of scripture that I will be preaching on here in a moment from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. So back to Noelle.
Good morning, faithful friends. I am so glad that you are here with us. And I just hope that you are encouraged and your faith is strengthened this morning through the message that Pastor Keith has for us and also through God's word that's alive and active. Right now, we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. It is titled God's Love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of people are afraid right now. We don't want to talk about it, but I understand we're all a little bit fearful because we're not sure what's going on. And throughout the conversations I have had this week with a lot of people, I've picked up on what I would identify as four primary fears. The first is the obvious, the fear of this virus. What if I get sick? What if somebody I love gets sick? What are we going to do? The second fear I've noticed is the fear of losing a lot of money. What will happen to my job? How will I pay the bills? What's going to happen to my retirement or my investments? Certainly the economy is on everybody's mind. There's also third, the fear of being stuck at home for a long time. How long will it be? How long before the kids drive us crazy or before they start going crazy? And then the fear of what permanent changes this might bring. This is the fourth fear. What is going to change as a result of this? Are we perhaps losing some of our freedoms? When will we get back to normal again? These questions are on our minds. There's always the wise counsel of Charlie Brown at times like this. He once said, "I have a new philosophy. I only dread one day at a time." Well, maybe we can do a little better than that. But I know we're still all thinking about these things. We're asking the same questions. But what is important is the way we answer the questions. What's important is the way we approach these fears. Will we turn inward or will we turn to God? And today I want us to turn to God by looking to the scripture that Noel just read to us from 1 John chapter 4. And I want to particularly look at verses 18 through 21. But imagine that we're standing on a beach, that we're watching as a wave comes in. We're told that there's this tsunami coming. We're not sure yet how big this wave is. It's still too far away to really say for sure, but it's coming. And we're not also too sure how long exactly it's going to take. Is this going to hit tomorrow? Is this going to hit in a couple of days? But something is coming and it's going to change our lives. So we sense this fear. And what are we going to do? Well, I want to spell out some basic responses to fear. These are the ways we naturally will respond, but then there's also a way in which God wants us to respond when we face fear. And I'm going to try to pull up on my screen here some slides to help just show you what I'm talking about. When we face fear, 1 John 4, 18 through 21. And first off, I just want to point out here this little diagram that we have three options really that we're going to concentrate on today. And the first option that many of us turn to when we are fearful is panic. We panic. What are we going to do? The dictionary defines panic as sudden, unreasoning terror, often accompanied by mass flight. So every Hollywood movie director understands what panic is. We pay lots of money to go to see movies in which we are induced to panic. We see people stuck in a ship as it's sinking, or we feel the ground shake as the dinosaur approaches, or the people are all out in the water when the fin starts to come near and circle. And so panic is that nightmare you feel when you're trying to run away and your feet are stuck in wet cement. We can't run away from this. We realize there's nowhere to go. So how do we express our panic? Well, one way in which we're panicking is we are hoarding. And the more we are told not to stockpile, the more people rush to the stores. We're not in any danger of running out of paper products or bread or Twinkies. But panic doesn't listen to reason. Remember the definition. Panic is sudden, unreasoning terror. Panic simply acts. Maybe a milder symptom of our panic right now is this impulse that so many of us have to just keep looking at the news, just to just keep scrolling through. There must be some new article. There must be something else that I'm supposed to look at now, and we get addicted to the news feed. It's a form of expressing the panic that we feel because we're afraid and we don't know what to do. Now, there's another response in all of this that some will turn to. And I'm going to take you back to our slides now and show you the next one here. If we're not panicking, perhaps we are in denial. Denial is the other way in which I've recognized some responding to the fear that they feel. Denial. And you know, most of those who are in denial don't think they are afraid. It's part of the denial. They look at those who panic and say, well, I'm not going to do that. So I'm just not going to do anything normal. Everything is going to stay I'm not going to do anything other than the normal thing. Everything in my life is going to stay the same. And sometimes when people go into denial mode, the only ones they hurt are themselves. But in this case, the situation we're facing right now, denial is an act of irresponsibility because the community is at risk. And that's something really serious to consider if you're trying to just be in denial about things right now. I remember during World War II, I wasn't there, but I've seen the posters, the pictures that the government put out, and you maybe have seen them in museums or in news articles. But that poster that the government posted to try to encourage people to preserve fuel because of the need for fuel in the war effort. They made this picture of a guy driving his car, and they said, you know, you got to carpool. Everybody needs to carpool and drive together. Well, this picture of this guy driving his car all by himself, and there's this ghost of Hitler in the passenger seat. The caption on the poster reads, "When you ride alone, you ride with Hitler." Those who were in denial about the fuel shortages at the time and chose to just continue to drive to work on their own were aiding the cause of the enemy. They were supporting Hitler's effort. And denial of this virus only strengthens the virus. We've got to work together, and no one gets to just opt out of what we need to do as we face this head on. So we don't want to panic. We don't want to be driven by just a state of denial and trying to ignore this. But what should we do? Well, let me go back to this screen one more time and show you the third option that I think you should be picking up on as we've considered the scriptures here this morning. And that is the call to love. The call to love. When we are faced with fear, we need to choose to love. Love is an intentional response to fear. When we are afraid, we have to choose to love. And this love is what will drive out fear. Love is more than just a feeling. Love is a decision. It's a resolve. And it's an action. It's choosing to do certain things instead of other things. And certainly what matters most to us in a time like this is God's love. We have to first understand that God loves us. He loves you more than you will ever understand or imagine, that his love never fails. And so that's what this passage in John tells us. Let's look at that now one more time. I want to draw your attention to it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. John might as well have said that perfect love drives out panic. Perfect love drives out denial. Because it reminds us of who God is and what God has done. God has revealed his perfect love to us in Jesus Christ. He loved us. And I have to believe that Jesus felt the feeling of fear. He was human. And when he set his course to Jerusalem, he knew what was going to happen to him there. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to die on the cross, that there would be great pain and humiliation beyond all measure. But notice, he didn't panic. He didn't deny the calling that he had on his life. He went forward in faith. He went forward out of love. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. And verse 19 says that we love because he first loved us. Let me go back to that verse one more time here. God's love drives out fear. And so God's love leads us to love others. Verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This week I opened my Google Calendar, like maybe many of you did, and I started erasing events. Just X-ing things out, things I thought I was going to be doing this week and last week and the next week. My calendar has changed. But what am I going to do now? Well, there's lots to be done. There's lots to be done as we express our faith in love, as we confront the fear with love. What will we do with the time that we have? Will we just continue to panic? Will we just continue in denial? Or will we look for ways to love God and love others? This is a good time to hit the reset button in your life on some of the things that you have been neglecting or ignoring. Take time to be in the Word. Take time to be in prayer. Take time with your family to just play some games, have some fun, get to know others better. Call people you haven't talked to in a long time. Reevaluate some of your priorities. Look again at what really matters most. And remember, this has got to be a deliberate action because love is not a feeling, it's a decision and it's an action. I've been talking to a lot of people this week, and I've been picking up the phone more and just calling and seeing how people are doing. And when I talk, I always try to emphasize some of the good things that I see right now. And I just, you know, keep a tally of some of the good stuff that we see happening. I mean, I've been telling a lot of people, this is good that every bar in the United States is closed right now. Every bar has been closed. Another good thing I'm seeing right now, my kids are healthier than ever before because they're not picking up all the colds and flus and whatever other sicknesses that they normally would be getting. So they're getting a chance to recover. People are calling and checking in on each other. I'd call somebody this week and they'd say, oh, well, you're the third person to call me today. I already got a call from Dr. John or from Marlene or from B. This is great. I am encouraged. Continue to go through your directory. Just call people. Ask them, how are you doing? And then finally, one thing I really want to leave with you today that is really good, and you need to remember this because you might not believe it when I tell you. Satan is losing ground as a result of this. Satan is losing ground, and he will lose more ground before this is all over. You might say, well, I don't believe that. But let me give you an example of what I mean. Back in the 1940s or so, C.S. Lewis wrote a classic book called The Screwtape Letters. Maybe you've read this before. I've read it many times. It's one of my favorite books. And in The Screwtape Letters, it's a work of fiction. It's a collection of 31 letters written by a demon. And this demon is overseeing another demon. And so there's kind of this senior demon training an apprentice demon on how to afflict the most harm and fear and difficulty in people's lives, to pull them away from God. And so it's this sort of look into the minds of the demonic. And it's kind of a diabolical theme, but it provides a lot of interesting insight. And in the midst of one of these letters, the story takes place during World War II in London. During the bombing, there's air raids going on and people's houses are under attack and men are being drafted into the military and forced to fight in this war. And so this young apprentice demon, his name is Wormwood, writes to the senior demon, Screwtape, and says, boy, this great thing is happening. There's this war now that's breaking out and all these people are dying. And isn't this great for our cause? But the wiser demon, Screwtape, replies in letter number 5 to the young Wormwood and says, don't get so giddy. Don't be so happy about this. This is not going to turn out the way you think it will. He says, you know, people may die in war, But people also will be thinking less of themselves and more of others. People will lose their homes and their wealth, and yet many will also be learning to make tremendous sacrifices. They'll learn what matters most in their lives. And so this demon warns the apprentice that fearful times often bring out the best in people, and that's what Satan can't stand. But that's what I believe we're going to see in the days to come. I am confident that Satan is losing ground and will continue to lose ground through all of this. But for that to happen, we need to remember that God's love drives out fear. And that leads us to love one another. So we cannot panic forever. You're going to get tired of panicking. There's only so much toilet paper you can hoard into your closets. And you can't go on denying this either. That's not going to be an option. But there's a better way. God has shown us through his son, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in all of scripture is Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Hang on to that idea. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And if that is the only thing that counts, then no virus is going to take that away. No crash in the economy is going to take that away. If anything else, it's only going to allow that to be highlighted more in our lives. So let's think about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will turn us from panic, turn us from denial, and turn us to love as we face these fears today. You are a gracious God. Thank you for showing us that perfect love drives out fear. Thank you for the example of Jesus, who faced fear and overcame it out of love. Guide each of us, we pray, in practical ways. Help us to just choose to love, to be patient with one another, to discipline ourselves, to love one another, to care for one another. And we know your grace is sufficient for this in our weakness. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to go back to Stephanie, who's got another song for us to sing along with her. Stephanie?
I found this song an encouragement this week, and I hope you do too.
Thank you.
Great week.
Well, we can celebrate because he lives. We can face tomorrow because, as that song says, all fear is gone. Because of the love God had for us, we can show love to others. And I know sometimes you're going to feel like, man, I just don't know how I'm going to do this today. Ask God to help you. Let him be your resource in the hard stretch, and he is faithful. He is true. I want to share as a benediction here, a prayer from Polycarp. Polycarp was a second century Christian bishop who was also a martyr. He gave his life for the cause of Christ. And this is what he prayed. May God the Father and the eternal high priest, Jesus Christ, build us up in faith and truth and love, and grant us our portion among the saints with all those who believe on our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all saints, for kings and rulers, for the enemies of the cross of Christ, and for ourselves, we pray that our fruit may abound and we may be made perfect in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for joining us today for this live stream. And just again, it's going to be recorded and archived on the church Facebook page with a link through the website. So you can share this with others or go back and watch it again. And I think we're probably going to be back at this again next Sunday. But let's keep praying that we'll be able to be together again, singing God's praises as one. In the meantime, the Lord bless you and have a great day. Goodbye.